what transpired on this day so many years ago. At least the day we celebrate it to be. Luke chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Lord, we ask that as we look into your word this morning, that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and spirits to praise. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. I want you to picture this morning your favorite sports team, whatever that is. Basketball, hockey, soccer, football. I don't know what your favorite sport is, your team sport, but picture it. Imagine your team has been working hard and furious all season. They've been struggling. They finally got to the playoffs. They win the playoffs. They are at the final championship game. It's been head-to-head the whole game. There's 10 seconds left in the game. And in the last 5 seconds, your team scores the winning point. What do you do? Come on, what do you do? You wouldn't be doing what you're doing now. Sometimes the most appropriate thing to do is to burst forth in praise. That's the context of our study this morning. As Jesus made his way down the Mount of Olives, prophetically, he was fulfilling Scripture. The people had seen his ministry. There were so many things converging at that moment. And there was a recognition that took place. This was the promised Messiah. The one their hearts had been longing for centuries. And in the moment of that recognition, they burst forth in praise. Hosanna! He's here! Our King has arrived! Celebration time! Now, there's always a party pooper in the crowd. Someone who loves to throw water on your enthusiasm. And the religious leaders said, "Jesus, you tell them to shut up right now. They cannot talk like that." Remember Jesus' response? We just read it. In essence, he said, "Guys, this is one of those moments. It's one of those times where no matter what you try, the people will not stay down in their seats. Because if they stop, the very stones will burst forth in praise." Can you imagine stones singing Hosanna? That would be the original rock music. I want you to use your imagination with me this morning. I want you to imagine that stones could speak. I want you to imagine that rocks could cry out, that they could sing. What would they tell us? What would they sing? What would their music be like? Well, the first tune would come from the first rocks, those highly compressed substances out of which the scientists say the Big Bang occurred. These rocks would not be singing their own praise. Surely they're smart enough to know that nothing comes out of nothing. Everything needs a first cause. Surely even the stones are smart enough to know that if you push time and space back far enough, you must come face to face with the first cause. You must come face to face with the eternal Creator. And whether those rocks are 10,000 years old or 10 trillion years old, they would be singing the praise of the all-powerful, sovereign, almighty Creator who has no beginning and end. They'd be singing His praise. Then there's the stones that drank up the blood of Abel after his brother had slaughtered him. They would sing a mournful tune. Their song would tell the horrible story of how sin had corrupted the human family and brought death and destruction to all of us. Theirs would be a lament, a mournful dirge, longing for release and hopeful rescue. Then there's that stone pillow at Bethel that witnessed Jacob's struggle with God. They would testify to how God can change the heart of a scheming, lying trickster and give him not just a new name, but a whole new future. Then there's those stone tablets on which the finger of God inscribed the very laws of God. They would testify to God's absolute, complete, thorough, permeating holiness and perfection. They would remind us that His law is unshakable truth. And they would praise Him. And then there's those 12 stones that were picked up from the bottom of the Jordan River. Remember when the Israelites came through? They took 12 stones from the bottom, and when they got to the other side, they piled them up. That pile of rocks, that altar would shout forth the praise of God. That song would tell us of how God can take a ragtag bag of slaves and deliver them mightily from the hand of one of the most powerful oppressors of His day. That song would tell us again that God can bring His people through the raging sea and the raging river and keep them in victory. They would praise the Lord. And then there's that small, smooth stone that David picked up. Little David, you know, the one he used for his slingshot? That little stone would sing a mighty tune. After flying through the air and plunging into Goliath's forehead, stealing his life, that little stone would sing a song about how God can take a little lad who dared to believe God in faith and win a mighty battle. That stone would have written the original score to "Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God." And why did David choose 5 smooth stones? Well, the Bible says Goliath had 4 brothers. David was ready for family feud. And the stones in the desert, the Judean wilderness, you remember those stones that were almost turned to bread? They'd have an interesting song to sing. They witnessed how Satan had assaulted Jesus with intense temptation in His weakest hour, and they also saw how Jesus had resisted the devil and forced him to flee. And those stones would testify to the faithfulness and complete holiness of Messiah. And then there's that choir of stones with different shapes and sizes that would sing a heart-wrenching tune. They were the rocks that were dropped all around, not on, all around the woman who was about to be stoned for committing adultery. You remember the story? Those stones fell from the hands of her accusers as Jesus had given her a brand new start. And what would those stones sing? They would sing of marvelous mercy. They would sing of fathomless forgiveness. They would sing the original "Amazing Grace." And then there's that large rock at the mouth of Lazarus' tomb. Oh, he'd have a lengthy ballad to sing. That stone had heard the weeping and the wailing of the grief-stricken. It had seen the awfulness of death. It had even felt the blows of those who had to get their anger out. And for 4 days it had witnessed the decay of the corpse. And it had even begun to take on the stench of that decay. The final verse of that ballad, though, would change both tempo and volume as it would begin to tell of how Jesus actually called that dead man back to life. That tombstone would testify to Christ's complete authority over death. And then we would hear that powerful piece of music from the original Rolling Stone. Not the band, But the stone for 3 days held in the blood-drained body of Jesus Christ. Although that stone had the seal of the governor and the guard's observation, it had no option but to defy the laws of gravity and physics and roll back up that incline when Jesus burst forth from the tomb in resurrection power. That Rolling Stones rock music is the greatest hit of all time. It's called "Death is Done." Jesus is alive. There's another pile of stones that would sing. They were heaped over the body of Stephen, the church's first martyr. Just before they did their deadly deed, they heard Stephen declare that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, if you know anything about Scripture, you know that it usually describes Jesus as seated at the right hand of the Father, but here he's standing. He's giving Stephen a standing ovation as he welcomes him into glory. Why? Because Stephen was one of those who would let nothing silence his praise. We're told in 1 Peter chapter 2 that you and I, as God's children, are living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And what are we to do with those living stones? Verse 9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. All of these rocks and stones would shout forth Hosanna. They would shout forth the praise of God if they could. But I don't know about you, friends, but I don't want some inanimate object doing my job. I was created to praise God, and praise God I will do. I was created to worship Jesus Christ, and worship Jesus Christ I will do. I was created for my spirit to shout hosannas to the King of Kings and shout hosannas I will do. I'm not going to let the rocks do it. I'm going to do it. How about you? You going to let the rocks do your job? Or are you going to declare His praise? All creatures of our God and King will sing His praise. This morning I invite you to join me and join them in singing His praise. Hymn number 64. Why don't you stand with me as we sing it together? You may not have a branch to wave like the children this morning, but your spirit can sing His praise. whether we like it or not, the rocks and the rivers and the streams and the fire and the sun and the sky, all these things will give praise to God because they know, even as inanimate objects, they know their Creator. How much more we? How much more we who have been redeemed from the curse of the law, who've been set free from the law of sin and death, who've had our sins forgiven, who've been brought back into relationship with Jesus Christ? How much more should we sing His praises? We were not just created by Him. We were bought back from death, and now we yield ourselves to Him. We're three times over His. Let God's people sing His praise. Let's praise Him with everything we have inside of us. It was the night in which Jesus was betrayed that He took bread. Palm Sunday, after a few days, led right into that Good Friday. And that night He took bread, He broke it, and He said, "This is My body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." He later took the cup and He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you. Drink all of it. As you eat this bread, as you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of Me." As our communion stewards pass out the bread this morning and then the cup, take them and take the time to remember Jesus. Remember what He has done on your behalf. And that ought to produce in you a spirit of praise. And if it doesn't, dear friends, then the rocks are going to have to do your job. Let your heart burst forth in praise, for this is one of those moments where it is only appropriate. I remind you that this is not the table of this particular church or any church. It's the table of the Lord. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you profess Him to be so, then please participate with us. Take some bread, keep it till we've all been served, and we'll participate together. In the same manner later, the cup will be served. Take one as it comes by, keep it till we've all been served. We'll participate together. With a cup, the outer rings on the tray are wine, the inner circles are grape juice. Take according to your tradition. Those are instructions. Let's move past the instructions now, and let's remember Jesus. Hymn number 65 may help focus your meditation on the Lord this morning. There's the wonder of rocks praising Him, the wonder of the sky and the universe, but there's a wonder beyond it all. Let's sing about that together.
There's the one in prayer. Lord, there's so many wonders in this universe, but there's nothing greater than the wonder that you would love us. Nothing greater than the wonder that the Creator of this universe would come, condescend to this one little planet in this vast galaxy, in this unfathomable universe, and come down here as a man. Take on the form of a servant and humble yourself even to the point of death. Why? Because you loved us. Because you wanted to redeem us. Because you wanted us back in fellowship. Lord, this wonder defies human logic, human comprehension. And this morning we do not attempt to figure it out. We merely bow our knee in our spirit and let you know that we love you. Let you know that we are thankful for what you have done in our behalf. And our spirits want to say, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who has come to redeem us, to forgive us, to cleanse us, to make us new, to reunite us with our Father. Our hearts tonight, this morning, say thank you. Thank you for your broken body on our behalf. Accept our gratitude through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please participate with me.